Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Well, hi everyone. I know it's been a minute. It's been almost 2 months now since I last posted an episode, and that is because life got a little bit busy and hectic, and then I got COVID, which was an extremely rough 2 weeks, and it also meant that I had to wait a little bit of extra time before I started recording again, because when you get COVID, even after you test negative, you're still congested, and your throat is still sore, and your voice just does not sound right. My voice did not sound good at all. But now I think we're back to normal, and I am ready to get back on track. So without any further delay, let's get into the disappearance of Caitlin Akins. In December 2015, 19-year-old Caitlin Akins was thriving in multiple areas of her life. The year before, she had gotten engaged to her childhood sweetheart, Amber, and Caitlin moved across the country from Virginia to Arizona to be with her. Caitlin met Amber when they were kids in Spotsylvania County, Virginia. They lived just down the street from each other and became best friends. When Caitlin was around 12 years old, Amber's family moved across the country to Arizona, but the two girls stayed in touch and talked just about every day. Eventually, their relationship progressed and they made things official between them. In 2014, at 18 years old, Caitlin got engaged to Amber, and she made the big move from Virginia to Arizona to start a new life with her fiancé. Caitlin was also preparing to begin cosmetology school. She was a talented hairstylist, and she was excited to make it her career. But one of the most exciting things happening in Caitlin's life was her sister's pregnancy. Caitlin was ecstatic about the birth of her nephew, and soon after he was born, she flew from Arizona to her hometown in Virginia on December 1st, 2015. The trip was intended to be extremely short, as Caitlin would be starting cosmetology school just a few days later. Her return flight back to Arizona was booked for December 5th. Caitlin adored children, and caring for children always seemed to come naturally to her. According to her family, she absolutely doted on her newborn nephew during her trip to Virginia, and she was really enjoying her visit. 2 days before Caitlin was scheduled to fly back home, she made plans to meet up with an old friend from high school. That night, she went to her friend's apartment to hang out and have a few drinks, and that friend's boyfriend also joined them. It would later be found out that this meetup with an old friend actually caused Caitlin a lot of distress. Around 9 a.m. on the morning of December 5th, 2015, Caitlin arrived at the home of her ex-stepfather, James, where she would spend the day until James drove her to the airport for her flight. Caitlin's mother, Lisa, arranged for James to drive Caitlin to the airport because she would be working most of that day, and she wouldn't be able to get Caitlin to the airport in time for her flight. The plan was for James to drop Caitlin off at Reagan International Airport, 60 miles away from James' home in Spotsylvania County, around 1 p.m., so that he could make it back and go to work around 3:45 p.m. Caitlin's flight wasn't scheduled to leave until 5:40, but she didn't mind being a few hours early to the airport. Caitlin's biological father left the family when she was just a toddler. Lisa, again Caitlin's mother, married James when Caitlin was 7 years old, but they were only together for 6 years before getting divorced. According to Lisa, James was kind to her daughters and was a solid father figure to them. But according to friends of Caitlin, she and James did not get along. In the past, Caitlin had confided to friends that James was verbally abusive and that she didn't trust him. She felt that he made her uncomfortable. At 1:52 p.m. on December 5th, 2015, James texted Lisa that he had dropped Caitlin off at the Springfield Mall metro station, at Caitlin's request, which is about 20 minutes away from Reagan International Airport. The metro station was only 2 stops away from the airport, but Lisa found this odd. Caitlin hadn't taken the metro since she was very young, and she would have had no idea how to navigate it. It was out of character for Caitlin. It would have made more sense for her to have been dropped off directly at the airport to wait for her flight. At 2 p.m., Caitlin texted her mother, quote, "I'm at the airport. Battery dying, so won't be able to text for a bit," end quote. Later that day, Lisa found out from Amber, Caitlin's fiancé, that Caitlin had sent her a strange message that morning. At 11:56 a.m. on December 5th, Caitlin texted her fiancé Amber, quote, "Something came up. I'm not coming back today. I'll let you know when I get a new flight," end quote. Followed by a second message saying, quote, "I won't be able to text for a bit," end quote. These messages were sent to Amber 2 hours before Caitlin texted her mother, claiming she was already at the airport. So already, nothing about the sequence of events makes sense. That evening, 5:40 p.m. came and went, and no one heard anything else from Caitlin about whether or not she got on that flight. Caitlin's family had repeatedly tried to call and text her throughout the day, but there was no response. That was until 7:15 p.m., 2 hours after Caitlin was supposed to have been on a flight back to Arizona. She texted her mother Lisa, quote, "I'm staying with a friend," end quote, immediately followed by another message that said, quote, "I need some time alone," end quote. These messages were an immediate cause for concern in Lisa's mind. According to her, that just wasn't Caitlin's texting style. She wasn't one to double text. She typically would send everything in one message rather than splitting it up into 2 messages back to back. But those were the last messages sent from Caitlin's phone. Over the next 2 days, Caitlin's family attempted to call, text, and even message her on Facebook, desperate to find out where she went and why she hadn't gotten on her flight back home. But every attempt at communication went unanswered. On Monday, December 7, 2015, Lisa made the decision to go to the Spotsylvania County Police to report her daughter missing. While she was at the police department, police discovered the first piece of evidence in Caitlin's disappearance. Earlier that morning, a road crew found a suitcase with a broken wheel, discarded along the side of the road, just 5 miles from Caitlin's hometown. The suitcase turned out to be Caitlin's. Inside, police located Caitlin's wallet, including her ID and her debit cards, as well as her plane ticket for her trip back home. But there were no clothes or other personal items in the suitcase, and Caitlin's phone was also still nowhere to be found. Lisa also noticed that Caitlin's high school diploma was missing from the suitcase. Caitlin had been adamant about bringing her diploma back home with her because she needed it to complete her registration for cosmetology school. Caitlin's suitcase was found in a ditch along River Road, 50 miles away from the Springfield Metro Station and Reagan International Airport where she was supposed to have been. With the discovery of the suitcase and Caitlin's missing belongings, Spotsylvania County Police began their investigation into Caitlin's suspicious disappearance. Phone records heightened their suspicion. When police examined the location data from Caitlin's phone, it showed that at 2 p.m. on December 5, 2015, when Caitlin texted her mother claiming to be at the airport, her phone was actually pinging near Fredericksburg, Virginia, 30 miles away from Reagan International Airport. And at 7:15 p.m. that evening, when Caitlin texted her mother again to say that she was staying with a friend and needed time alone, her phone was pinging close to Stafford, Virginia, just a few miles away from where her suitcase was found on the side of the road. Police also gathered phone records from James' phone, and what they learned only raised more questions. When James texted Lisa at 1:52 p.m. on December 5th, claiming to have dropped Caitlin off, his phone was pinging south of Fredericksburg, close to his home, again more than 30 miles away from Springfield Mall and Reagan International Airport. With all of the inconsistencies surrounding the phone records, police moved to gather surveillance footage from the Springfield Mall, where James originally claimed to have dropped Caitlin off that afternoon. Investigators also requested footage from the airport where Caitlin was supposed to have been. But there was no sign of Caitlin anywhere on the surveillance footage that day. James was also notably absent from any of the footage. There was no evidence that Caitlin or James had been to the Springfield Mall or Reagan International Airport at all on December 5th, 2015. Within a couple of weeks after Caitlin disappeared, Police spoke with the two friends that Caitlin had partied and spent the night with 2 days before her disappearance. While investigators didn't learn anything they found suspicious about the friends, they did discover the possible reason for Caitlin's strange and cryptic messages, and her alleged decision to miss her flight intentionally. The night she spent with her high school friends started out as a casual get-together, drinking, card games, dancing. But as the drinks kept flowing, things became intimate between the three of them. According to those friends, Caitlin felt regretful and upset about this infidelity. Caitlin's social media messages with other people also showed that she may have been coerced into having sex with those two friends. All in all, that night seemed to be the likely explanation for Caitlin's change of heart about going home to Arizona and to her fiancé. The day after the party, the friends brought Caitlin back to her mother's house, and that was the end of that lead. There was nothing to suggest that the friends had any knowledge about or involvement in Caitlin's disappearance. During the first weeks of the investigation, James was helpful and cooperative with police. He seemed to genuinely want to find out what happened to his former stepdaughter. When police asked that he take a polygraph test to aid them in ruling him out as a person of interest, he willingly scheduled the test and agreed to show up. But on December 29th, the day the polygraph had been scheduled for, James called the lead detective and told him that he had spoken with an attorney and he would not be taking the polygraph. After this, investigators focused their attention on James. A search warrant was obtained for James' home and property. A forensic team swept through James' home, his electronics were examined, and the swampland behind his house was searched. But absolutely nothing was found to link back to Caitlin or her disappearance. Police also seized a phone from James' home, but this phone was encrypted, and he has since refused to allow them access to it and won't give up the password. Police also tried to corroborate James' story that he went to work right after dropping Caitlin off at Springfield Mall, but it turned out that James had actually called off work that day and never went at all. While Caitlin's family and friends were desperately texting and calling her phone after she disappeared, phone records showed that after Caitlin was last heard from, James never once tried to text or call her. This was questionable not only to police, but also to Caitlin's family. Caitlin's social media communications did lead to a possible clue, however. Not because of what can be seen in those messages, but rather because of what can't be seen. Investigators discovered that Caitlin had recently been using an encrypted messaging app to communicate with people, but they have no way to access those messages to find out what they say or who exactly Caitlin was talking to. Now, almost 7 years after Caitlin disappeared, still nothing has been found in connection with her case. Caitlin Akins was last seen on the morning of December 5th, 2015, near Partlow, Virginia. She was scheduled to fly from Reagan International Airport back home to Arizona at 5:40 p.m. that evening, but she never boarded her flight. Caitlin has blonde hair and blue eyes, is 5 feet 4 inches tall, and at the time of her disappearance, she weighed around 122 pounds. She has a tattoo of 5 butterflies on her arm and another tattoo of 3 stars on her right foot. Her bottom lip, navel, and nose are pierced, and at the time she disappeared, she had gauges in her ears. She was allegedly dropped off at the Springfield Mall, near the Reagan International Airport, around 1 p.m. on December 5, 2015, but there is evidence that disputes that claim. The last confirmed sighting of her is at the home of her former stepfather, James, near Partlow, Virginia, that morning. If you have any information about the disappearance of Caitlin Akins, please call the Spotsylvania County Sheriff's Office at 540-582-7115 or the Spotsylvania County Crime Solvers at 540-582-5822. All sources for this episode are listed in the show notes. Please be sure to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. My Good Pods page will also be linked in the show notes. There, you can rate and review individual episodes, and you can also see what podcasts I've been listening to. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at CrimeAgainPod, on Instagram, at CrimeAgainPodcast, and on TikTok, at CrimeAgainPodcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.